You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey guys, the great and powerful Mystery here.
And J-Clone 36.
Today, we're going to let you peek behind the curtain. This is going to be a Patreon episode, as in it was a Patreon episode, but we're going to release it to you guys so you get to enjoy it. If you like this kind of content, you know, you can go sign up on Patreon, you know, .com/CryptosCorn, links below, all that fun stuff. But yeah, we just needed to catch up and we wanted to give you guys a special treat.
Well, yeah, sneak peek. Here you go. Patreon special.
All right, guys. Enjoy.
Bye.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Patreon.
We are doing a main show.
Oh, dang it. My bad.
Let me switch over.
No, we can do the main show.
I'm leaving it in now.
Dang it. My bad. I thought.
I said, why don't we do the main show first?
Yeah, you're right.
And you're like, yeah, sounds good.
I got distracted.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
Patreon. Yeah, I was building.
Ooh, meow, 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 meow. Ooh, meow, meow, meow. Ooh, meow, meow, meow. Ooh, meow, meow, meow.
You're right, it did sound like that.
That's what I thought you were doing.
What is that song?
I don't know. That's the only part of the song I know.
Me too.
Is there work? There's no lyrics in that song. It's just that.
No, there's something more to it. There's something that's part of another. It's part of a song.
No, it was sampled later.
You might be. Well, no way.
It's like Under Pressure.
Well, my bad. Do you want to do Patreon?
Anyways, yeah. I switched over my scripts.
All right.
It was just
Patreon.
Not doing infrasound anymore. Now we're going to do the bizarre story of the Arkansas White River Monster.
Wait, the Arkansas
White River Monster.
Okay, good. I think you said Right River.
Right River Monster.
That's something else. You do a good muscle man.
Nick does the best muscle man
ever. I can see it. Because he has that low, deep voice already.
He does a good Joe.
Joe, from Family Guy. I can see that.
Hey, Peter.
That's not bad.
But Nick nails it every time.
Hey, Peter.
I can't do it.
Whatever the actor's name is.
I know it. It is, because he plays.
If you just closed your eyes,
he plays.
That's what you'd think he was there.
Plays Putty on a Seinfeld. Go on.
Anyways, the Light River Monster.
Okay.
So this is only like.
In Arkansas?
Yeah, 12 miles from where we just were.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get to it.
All right. The article is from Jake Carter from AnomaAlien.com.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, Patrick. In 1937, there were numerous sightings of a large creature in the White River. Four people signed affidavits saying that they had seen a huge aquatic beast. By summer's end, thousands of curiosity seekers had invaded the town of Newport in hopes of seeing the strange creature. During the first weeks of July, tenant farmers on Bartlett Bateman's plantation. Sorry, it just was a lot of like big
bees,
words.
Yeah.
Bartlett Bateman's plantation told him that they had saw a monster in the river. Fishing was poor, and they believed the creature was the reason why, chasing all the fish away.
Makes sense.
Although Bartman was a skeptic, he went to the river to see the strange beast for himself, and he was not disappointed. What do you think so far?
I mean, your classic monster story in the water so far.
Is it?
I think so. Mm. I mean, literally classic. It's like, you know, they're waiting. There's no fish in these waters yet, but that it's because that monster, there's a monster in these waters.
After he saw the monster, he contacted D.N. Graves of the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. He wanted to dynamite the eddy in that river where he'd seen the monster and kill it. He was cousins with an Indiana farmer.
Yeah, the Beast of Churubusco.
Yeah. Bateman and his tenants believed the monster was dangerous.
Okay.
Just because, just same thing with the turtle.
Yeah.
This is the Southern Beast of Bosco.
Or the Sinkhole Sam cousin.
That's just west.
Yeah.
He was obviously denied permission because it was illegal to use dynamite in the waters, no matter the reason.
Okay.
Some fishermen would dynamite the waters to stun fish and take them all out of the water. Dynamite sticks were called DuPont spinners.
Okay.
Do you get why? They're like a fishing lure spinner. DuPont made dynamite sticks.
Oh, DuPont. Oh, okay.
DuPont spinners.
Now I get it. That's pretty funny. That's a pretty good. You gotta be very knowledgeable in a fishing. Few different fields. Yeah, fishing and then environmental harm.
DuPont spinners. Open up Tamok and grab a DuPont spinner out the bottom. Huh? The stick. Why do you got red candles in here?
Right. Yeah.
Dynamite.
They burn really bright. That's why I got them.
Yeah, really fast.
Yeah.
I told you the story when I actually seen dynamite as a kid, like real dynamite.
Did you?
Have I never told you that?
It's not sounding familiar.
Okay. Real quick, before we continue on. So Bateman contacted Fish and Wildlife, wanted to blow it up.
Yeah.
They said, no, we're not going to give you a permit to do it because it's illegal. Other people did it anyways. It was Bateman.
Oh, okay.
Tried to ask for permission and you're like, screw the government, which I get.
Yeah. Can't relate.
I just bought a bunch of quail yesterday.
That was in the back porch?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I was asking the guy, I won't say what county he was in. I was asking if he'd heard about the regulations. He said, no. I'm like, well, just so you know. And he's like, screw the government. I'm like, hell yeah, brother.
Yep.
That's why I'm over here.
Yep.
And he was really fun. He was a cool guy. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I help run the poultry department in our county. And
yeah.
He's like, I never heard nothing of that. They try to stop me, I'll shoot him.
Good. Our people.
Handed him money. So when I was a kid, there was a giant stump in a neighboring farmer's like yard.
Okay.
They wanted to get rid of the stump. They tried burning it. It wouldn't burn. They tried everything. Eventually, they dug a hole under it from one side. And the extremely elderly farmer had a box he went out of the barn and got. And they were these really sweaty candles.
Sweaty candles, yeah.
No, they had like little droplets of liquid.
Oh, I know.
And it was actually, I was probably 7.
Yeah.
It was actual dynamite he had from the 40s.
And it wasn't sweat, was it?
Because nitroglycerin leaks out of them.
Yeah.
No, so it was actual dynamite. And a dynamite, like when he bought it at like a community store.
It was like in a crate.
A wooden crate of dynamite.
Yeah.
And he said, basically, they're really, really old. Keep in mind, that would have been in the 90s.
So 50 years old right there.
Yeah. And he's like, we're going to use a lot more than we normally would because it's really old. You know, because it's not as potent, he thought. That was wrong.
It was still potent?
Yes. It was more volatile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you can't move them. That's why they don't, like, that's why dynamite's dangerous, because it gets extremely more violent.
Wow.
Because you can just blow up from shaking the case.
Wow.
Anyways.
Did he blew it up?
Yeah, I was there. So, massive stump. Massive stump. We were really far away. They light it, and I just remember going deaf for a second.
How'd they light it?
A fuse. He had a little, like, a discharger and everything.
Like the plunger?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It came with a case.
Nice.
So, he blew it up, and I just remember going deaf for a second, and then we looked out there, and there was no tree stump.
That worked.
There's a hole.
Yeah.
The problem was, we were waiting for the tree stump to come back down.
Oh, I'm sure it was just in splinters.
Kind of.
Like dust.
I was a little kid, so it's hard for me to actually remember. But I felt like 30, 40, 50 seconds go by. And then chunks.
Started
raining down and hitting every, like, breaking car windows and stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of them were fairly big.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it rained down for minutes.
Oh, that's crazy.
I don't know how high up it went.
Yeah.
But it, and then we were, they were panicking because definitely people heard it.
You think?
And definitely people were coming.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's like, it's not the same, but it's like when people around here blow up Tannerite. Yeah. You hear it and feel it. It's like,
something we were probably 400 feet away, 500 feet away.
Beyond Tannerite.
And it's still, I don't remember the sound because it was so loud.
Yeah. Jeez, that's crazy.
That farmer's still alive. He was old then.
Let's see if he's got money in dynamite left.
No, he doesn't. He got rid of it after that.
Oh, okay.
Because he realized it was not getting weaker.
Yeah, he got a lot stronger.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know if stronger is the right word either. It just is, it gets more volatile.
Unstable.
Yeah, unstable. All right, DuPont spinners.
Yes, let's get back to them.
So, Whitey had settled into a routine, what they named the monster. He would surface in the late afternoon, stay up for about 15 to 20 minutes before diving back into the water.
They called him Whitey?
Yeah, the White River Monster, Whitey.
Okay. So he wasn't white. The river is called White River.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it had nothing to do with his color in particular.
Right.
It was the White River he lived in.
And this is what, did he see it yet? He did see it.
A bunch of people were seeing it.
It's hundreds a sea monster? Like serpent?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's actually a picture of him I'll show you in a minute.
Okay.
Big, big animal.
Yeah.
But it was living in this deep eddy. So every day or sometime in the afternoon, he would rise up, hang on the surface for a little bit, and then dive back down.
Okay.
Everybody's seen him. Bateman said he was about 12 feet long and about 5 feet wide.
Dang.
So big, but not like huge to some of the other river lake monsters we've talked about.
But 5 feet wide, that's pretty.
It's like a brick.
I was just saying like a giant alligator gar, like big fat.
That's even way wider than they've ever gotten.
I know, yeah. But proportion-wise, I don't know.
Like, no, proportion would be built more like a big marine mammal.
Mm.
Graves thought it might be a deep sea creature that swam up the river and became trapped in the deep eddy. So, swam up during a flood or something. When water receded, it was too big to get back out of the eddy. Because
mm-hmm.
the river was shallow, so an eddy is a bend in the river that's really deep. News about the strange creature attracted visitors from all over the area. Some brought cameras, others a lot of dynamite. One brought a machine gun.
Oh gosh, this will be fun.
Yeah. So cameras, dynamite, and a guy brought a machine gun.
A 1937 machine gun.
Mm-hmm. That was the real machine guns.
Yeah, probably.
Deputy Sheriff ZB Railed glimpsed the monster and said it looked just pretty much like a gigantic catfish.
Hmm.
Dr. Dingler, a zoology professor at the University of Arkansas, thought it might be a gigantic sturgeon.
Okay.
One had recently been caught in the Tallahassee River in Laurel, Mississippi.
Hmm. Was it a lake sturgeon or a white sturgeon or a...
So it'd actually be a Gulf sturgeon or a green sturgeon.
Ah, okay.
Which are right now extremely, extremely rare. We don't know. Gulf and green sturgeons, I've seen one and they get massive.
Mm.
They're bigger than lake sturgeons, but not as big as white sturgeons.
Okay.
But I mean, big enough that if you've seen one, that is a monster.
What do you think? They get about like 12 feet and about 5 foot around?
Something like that. Yeah, it's actually about exactly their measurements.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Thanks for spoiling the end.
Yeah. Okay. I know that's not it. There's no way. But go on.
Sure. He had three rows. The monster had three rows of large scutes running down its back.
Ooh, okay.
That was a joke.
Oh, is that
sturgeon.
What sturgeons have? Okay. I was going to say the horned serpent.
W.E. Pencer announced that he would make a giant rope net 40 feet wide by 50 feet or 15 feet deep with 8-inch mesh to snag the monster. He said he would take 10 days to construct the net and would accept donations to help with the project. The West Memphis radio station had made arrangements to broadcast the attempted capture live.
Here we
go. So this guy's like, yeah, I'm going to make a big net.
Big media event.
Big net. We're gonna do this. Any donations would help. What do you think happens?
He takes the money and skips town.
Never got the money. Penn said he stopped making the net because he had run out of money.
He ran out of money.
The radio station found the broadcasting would be too expensive, so they canceled the airing anyways.
Oh, man.
Immediately fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like what happened to our salamander expedition.
Oh, we got closer funding than he did.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We start doing it, by the way. It's going to happen when it's meant to happen.
It'll happen. Marion Dixon, Newport Chamber of Commerce president, hired an experienced ex-Navy diver named Charles Brown.
Okay.
Do you get why that's funny?
Charles Brown?
Charlie Brown.
Oh, yes, it is funny. Yes.
To go into the river and see what he could find.
Okay.
So the Chamber of Commerce guy hired an ex-Navy diver to go down. You go find this monster. Go find it.
Right when he goes to dive in, he pulls the football away and he slips and falls into the river. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Got ya. The town posted signs by major roadways and invited members of the press to attend. Stores were closed. Like a whole town. Oh, like everybody in the surrounding area came out to see this diver go into this eddy to fight the monster.
And get eaten?
Yeah, he never resurfaced.
Yeah, okay.
Communication system.
No, that's a lie. Is that true or are you making that up?
Let me read. You'll see.
Okay.
The communication system was set up so the event could be broadcasted live. Visibility in the eddy was less than a foot.
Okay.
The dives lasted for several days. This diver would basically go down to maximum time, come up, you know, for the the shortest period he was allowed to do in between dives.
Gotcha.
And go back down. He did this for like 3 or 4 days. And Whitey did not cooperate. Now, why the diver said he'd never seen the monster, he said that, you know, the visibility was really poor, and he had felt like giant things had swam by him a couple times.
Mm.
But gosh, they could have been big catfish or anything like that. You know, the White River is full of...
Oh, it's just as scary.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And then he died.
Yeah, okay. How?
Eventually. I don't know.
Of old age. Yeah, peacefully in his home. Like, peacefully 30 years later.
When he was 97.
Probably still alive.
So that's it for Whitey for the 30s spurt. The next spurt of sightings came in 1971.
Okay. You know,
about 30 years, 40 years difference. Yeah,
somewhere in between.
So the locals had noticed a monster appear to have about a 40-year cycle making its appearances. There were theories about that. One of the more creative ones was the creature lived in the Sargasso Sea and swam into the river to lay its eggs.
Wait, to lay its eggs?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they got it backwards, don't they?
That's how the exact opposite of eels.
Right.
They live in the river and go to the Sargasso to lay their eggs.
Right.
I don't know why they picked the Sargasso. I looked into it. I couldn't find it, but there was a lot of like people that really believe this thing lived in the Sargasso.
Why?
I just said I couldn't find out why.
Okay. But why would you even, or how would that theory even come about?
Don't know.
All right.
One guy said it one time, and then it lived forever.
Fair enough. Power of words.
The same person told a story about how the monster sank a shipment of gold during the Civil War and theorized alleged sightings of Japanese submarines in the river during World War II may have been the monster.
Okay.
Silas Warren and two friends were in a boat fishing when a water spout appeared about 20 feet from their boat.
That'd be nuts.
It was not like a water spout as in a little tornado, a water spout like from a whale.
Oh, okay.
Appeared about 20 feet from their boat.
That was confusing.
It was the monster. They said its back was about 20 feet or more long. Warren took a Polaroid picture, and it sold it to the Newport Daily Independent. Would you like to see a picture of Whitey?
Yeah, and before you show me, I'm going to assume this is a hoax. So let's see it.
It's a Polaroid from the 70s.
Yeah, but there's nothing there.
Look, you know, you see the back of the thing in the river.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess I see it. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like, it's nothing. I mean, there's like the lump could be the head in the front.
Yeah.
And just like spines drawn down or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if it's a hoax per se. I don't know what it is. I have thoughts we'll talk about here in a little bit. But I have no proof that that was an actual hoax.
Okay.
He had sold it to the paper, so he didn't make a little bit of money off it. But that was, you know, nothing crazy.
Understood, yeah.
So, it was in the area where the creature was seen. There was three people that said they seen it in the boat, or two people that seen the boat with him.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, that's just hearsay.
The picture's nothing crazy, you know? It's not this big, long, craning neck or, you know, this mouthful of teeth coming out the boat.
Right, yeah.
It looks like the back of a crocodilian or a whale or...
Sturgeon
or any large animal, you know, from a black and white Polaroid taken on a boat.
That's long.
Also around the same time, 14 inch long, 8 inch wide tracks were found of a three-toed creature on Towhead Island by a witness who wanted to remain anonymous. So really big tracks that seem to have three toes.
Seem to have?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I guess, you know, big flipper with three toes.
Okay.
Or a big wide hand with three toes. Either one. Bent trees and crust vegetation evidence was also something around this whole area. So it appeared to have a very large animal was walking through this island.
Okay.
So something, it appeared to be something big, three-toed tracks, big wide feet, were walking through this island. From coming out of the river, walking through the island, through the vegetation, and going back in.
It wasn't the guy that did the penguin feet, is it? He didn't live around this area, is he?
Hmm. A CBS news crew arrived in the town and went to the island. The police had made casts of the tracks. The witness had seen the tracks sporadically in the past several years, but had not thought much of them until they heard about the monster sightings. Bateman, who had seen the monster in 1937, was contacted by the TV crew, but he declined an interview. The last sighting was probably the most terrifying sighting. Ollie Rob or Richardson and Joey Dupert were in their boat near Towhead Island, same island with the tracks, and it appeared to be a monster, you know, moving around on the surface of the island.
Mm-hmm.
So the boat was bumped by something. So they're fishing in their boat. Something big bumps them from underneath. Scary. I've had it happen to me. We'll talk about that later. Doesn't matter what the animal is, it's scary.
Oh, yeah.
And then the boat started to rise out of the water.
Uh-oh.
And it was on the back of a huge creature.
Okay.
So the boat is floating there on this thing's back. February 1937, Senator Robert Hervey introduced a bill that was part of the White River running from Jacksonport to Possum Gap. Was designated the White River Monster Refuge. The bill passed by the vote, and it was illegal to harm or kill Whitey by any means.
That's just a funny sentence.
Legal to harm or kill Whitey.
By any means.
No, because a lot of the people really started to... He was being seen enough throughout the years. A lot of people are really starting to enjoy him. Like Sinkhole Sam. Not as extreme as Sinkhole Sam as far as the love.
Right, right.
But they were tired of people going out and trying to like blow it up or trying to net it or trying to harpoon it. Because there were several people, you could find pictures in newspapers of people with like whale harpoons on the front of these boats shooting at anything in the river that was bigger than a 3-foot alligator.
Yeah. Man. Wild times.
Mm-hmm. In 1948, people near Clearwater, Florida were astonished by the sightings of something strange on their beach. Whatever it was left gigantic three-toed footprints as a calling card. The biggest toe was 13 inches long, almost exactly like Whitey's track.
Mm.
It was possible to estimate the creature's weight from the indentations in the sand. Whatever it weighed about 3 tons. Ivan T. Sandersons, the esteemed cryptozoologist, was doing a TV series for the NBC. He and a crew flew to Florida to make plaster tracks, take measurements, and interview who saw it. Fishermen and locals told of something 15 to 20 feet tall, waddling about the beaches and marshes on two legs. four pilots independently told Sanderson that there was something black and gigantic splashing around the banks of the Shawnee River. One man appeared to be sheepish when he spoke to the cryptozoologist. He admitted he might be crazy, but the creature resembled a...
I don't know.
Giant penguin.
No, stop. Seriously?
The creature was seen off and on February to October, and then it disappeared.
No, stop.
Sanderson was wary of the possibilities that it might be a hoax. He asked some engineer friends to design a machine that could make these deep indentation footprints. Their conclusion was such a machine would be very expensive to build. He would be extremely difficult to control because only the point of contact on the ground were the 2 feet. It, literally, you can find a video of Sanderson trying to make this for a truck.
Yeah.
Or something like that because it was so heavy. They overthought the problem. The engineers, that's what sometimes they do. They over-engineer.
Oh, yeah.
Because you remember what happened with the giant penguin in Florida.
They were just heavy and lead.
They were lead.
And just heavy.
And it was like 3 people.
Yeah.
The guy and his kids. It would be extremely difficult. It would have to be large enough to weigh 3 tons and small enough to go through the thickets and stuff. They reached the conclusion it was easier to accept the possibility of a giant penguin may exist as such mechanicals or and then such a machine existing. 3 road tracks like this were found in Florida and many other places. There were 3 road tracks in Pennsylvania found along the banks of the Monongahela River in 1966.
Okay.
So you brought up the famous hoaxer that did the penguin tracks.
Yeah.
There, I don't know. So I was looking into this episode with Irwin T. Sanderson and stuff like that. That guy may have done it, started after the spurt of sightings.
These sightings?
The original giant penguin tracks that were found in Florida.
Yeah.
He may have done it after.
Okay.
Because he wanted to keep doing it.
Right. Right.
But I don't know. It's a little bit of here or there kind of stuff.
Well, I would just say for the whole situation with that guy being, you know, doing what he did, he's not the only one that's ever done that.
Nope.
So, you know, if this is like a story from the 30s, because there was no track sightings in the 30s, right, in those accounts. I don't remember you saying that. No,
40s was the earliest for the tracks.
So when that maybe, you know, I can see it, someone doing the hoax. Just for the simple fact that there's buzz around it, people were talking about it, why not make some feet to go along with it?
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And just see what the people say, what the newspapers say. Because mostly when people want a hoax, that's what they want to see is how people react.
Yeah.
How people, because then you can kind of.
That's the joke.
Yeah, that's the joke, and you can tell how legitimate some people are. Like when Dr. Jeff Meldrum analyzed
the
hoax Bigfoot tracks.
Yes.
He immediately pointed out, well, there's, you know, a lot of indicators.
This,
from what he thinks have to be authentic because only somebody of his knowledge of feet, let's just put it that way.
Of anatomical primate, whatever, yeah. You know.
Yes. Feet.
What do you say? There's like 4 people on the planet
that would
have the knowledge
that he has. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll just say the anatomy and physiology of human.
He didn't say it rudely. But how specialized that field is.
Yeah. There's only that many people studying this stuff.
Yeah. I just want to make that clear that he wasn't saying it like,
yeah,
I'm that special.
Right. No.
No. It's just that this hyper specific field he's in is very tiny.
Correct.
And he knows
everyone in
the other 4 people.
Because you can count them all in one hand. Yeah. Yes. So when he points out things like that, you know, I think that legitimizes him. And I think it legitimizes, you know, evidence that people have found. So it's, you need that. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, people will hoax, and it takes almost an expert sometimes to truly figure out what is a hoax and what's not. And then it's for hoaxers too. I mean, as much as I don't like hoaxers, I don't care for them, but they play a role. They really do. Because you have to have them to weed out the so-called experts.
I like Meldrum a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't agree with a lot of his theories.
No, but he's a great man.
But he's a great person.
Yeah, great person. I enjoyed.
He's very fun to talk to.
Yes.
And extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah, the only time I've talked to him had nothing to do with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like,
but no, but even if you don't agree with him, as long as you're respectful to him, he's extremely respectful to you.
Great guy. Great guy. I can't say anything less about him.
What I enjoy about people, especially higher people in the Bigfoot community, because if you don't agree with some of them, you know, it's a fight. And others, it's like with Meldrum, like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
These are just, you know, my conclusions, but
yeah,
whatever you think is whatever you think.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get into what the White River Monster could be.
All right, possible candidates.
Before I give any of mine, I guarantee at least one or two of them you've never heard of.
Okay.
I have very few, if not any, paranormal explanations for this thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I know what the White River Monster is.
All right, I'm excited.
But do you have any guesses?
Horned serpent.
That's not even on this list.
No, okay. I think I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, I love the horned serpent stuff. And this didn't have any of the markers of any of the stuff. And the horned serpents, as far as I know, weren't violent if they weren't messed with.
Right.
From any of the sightings we talked about with, like, the Native Americans had a really healthy respect for them, but they weren't like, it's going to come kill us all.
Yeah.
But they told you, don't go mess with it.
Right.
But yeah. So do you have any real guesses?
Actually, no, I don't.
No, well.
Like, actually, okay, if I had a guess, no, because the picture disproves it, but I was going to say, before I seen the picture, like, elephant seal or something.
That is a good one. Long time ago, before we started doing any of this, White River Monster was one of my favorites growing up. And I always thought it was an elephant seal, and I do not believe that now.
Okay. So, yeah, I really don't have an idea what it could be, other than, like, a big eel or something, eel, giant glass eel that grew up.
First one is, it is a manatee.
Okay. Just a manatee.
Now, that may sound strange. I have an article here from a couple years ago we're going to read. But misguided manatee moves up to Mississippi near?
White River.
Memphis.
Oh, Memphis, Tennessee.
Which is right next to where all these sightings were.
Right next to the giant Bass Pro Shop pyramid.
That's actually right beside where it was. Literally swimming out in front of Bass Pro.
Oh, I know. I saw it when we were up on the observation deck. I seen glimpses.
So Memphis, Tennessee, a misdirected manatee swam approximately 750 miles up the Mississippi to a chilly harbor in Memphis's downtown riverfront, promoting a rescue plans by wildlife officials. Literally, that little harbor where all the boats were, where we were by the Bass Pro, is where the manatee was.
Oh, there was an actual manatee they found there?
Yes.
Okay, that's hilarious.
No, it was a manatee.
That's hilarious.
And it scared the bejesus out of people for a while.
Well, yeah.
Because in dark water and you can't see what they are.
Yeah.
You just see the plumes of them moving and stuff like that. They're huge. Huge.
And when they panic, they throw water.
They
scare.
They start slamming the water like beavers do to warn other manatees. Yeah.
It looks like a, because you still don't see them really.
No.
So it looks like a monster under the water, like going nuts.
It's just one of the biggest mammals on the planet that is extremely peaceful. So the docile endangered marine mammal, it was a pretty small one, about 8.5 feet long and about 1,000 pounds, was far north of its natural range along the southeastern United States coast. Biologists have no idea how it got there and worry for its health. It's failing as the species' digestive system shuts down in colder waters. So they have problems, even if they have food, when they get too cold, they can't digest food.
Mm-hmm.
From the biologist, we are working on a rescue plan and hope to have the animal rescued in the next 48 hours, Nicole Adamy, a biologist at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. We'll put it on a truck and haul it back to Florida.
Easy.
James Jackson's alerted authorities to the manatee on Monday, the day after another fisherman had spotted the shallow monster in the waterways near the downtown area. The first two completely disagreed on what they had seen.
Okay.
One said it was the monstrous alligator he'd ever seen in his life, and the other said it was a hippopotamus.
Those are very different.
They got, I'm going to guess one seen the face and the other one just seen, like, the body.
Yeah.
And, you know, because manatees, I mean, if you don't know what you're looking at, they kind of have that hippo-y face.
Sure.
Not really, but
yeah,
enough to be like, it was a hippo.
Well, yeah, over an alligator, for sure. Yeah. They're much more
but
hippo-y.
But if you just see the chunk, like the chunk of the tail or something like that, or if they're laying on their side,
yeah,
they can have that presence of more of an alligator.
I could see that. I mean, it's just whatever you're looking at.
You're just seeing it for a second in a muddy river.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, you're not seeing, it's not like the crystal clear springs in Florida where you can see every square inch of it.
Watch Pinky swim.
Hmm.
Uh-oh.
ADMI said to plan to catch the animal in a net, perhaps on Thursday, to take it to the SeaWorld Adventure Park in Orlando, Florida, and help it with park specialists. Manatees normally move into Florida and rivers this time of year, but not the Mississippi, said Pete Rose, executive director of the Save the Manatee Club in Florida.
Pete Rose was the...
A Pete Rose, not the Pete Rose. Not the football player?
Baseball.
Baseball player, Pete Rose.
Greatest hitter of all time, some say.
The animal should be in water at least above 68 degrees, Rose had said. Water temperatures where the animal was spotted ranged the mid to low 60s.
Mm.
So it was already in the active part of starving. Manatee that was found along the Gulf and Mexico and Atlantic coast from Alabama to South Carolina. Sometimes they are found further north. The summers, they've made it as far as?
New York.
Yeah, Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What a weird guess.
Not exactly New York, but...
New York City. That's Manhattan.
That's the joke.
Oh, okay. I was going to say...
Because if you say...
Not exactly New York. Yeah, it is exactly...
If you're in Manhattan and say you live in New York, they will beat you.
What? They don't claim to be part of the state?
No, New York City.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I meant
New
York City, not New York State.
Gotcha. I meant the state, but the city, it counts. Yeah. Same thing.
So, manatees, so I measured it before we did the episode. Where this thing was seen... So this manatee went 750 miles upriver.
Mm-hmm.
Where the thing was seen in the White River is 740.
Oh, very. That's a weird quinky dink.
So it's exactly matches some of these further manatees. And I think that's could explain why it's seen every 30 to 40 years. Is it's rare and one just gets up there. And I think the original guy was right that it was a sea animal that came up in a flood.
Yeah.
And then when the water went back to normal, it got stuck in this eddy.
Yeah.
Because manatees get stuck like that in places. There was just several in a pond in Florida last hurricane season.
Okay.
Like they had to literally crane them out.
Yeah.
Because they were in like a golf course pond.
Gosh.
Just so they were, you know, trying to get out of a storm or whatever. Man, when the water starts going down, you just start sitting.
If I was that golf course, I would have been like, we're keeping them. We're feeding these guys. This is going to be the new attraction.
Very expensive to feed a manatee.
Oh, okay.
They eat a lot.
Yeah.
But no, so.
But how awesome would that be?
Now I'll tell you some stories with manatees and why I think these kind of fit the mold. They spray water.
Oh, you think this is a manatee?
I think that out of this list I'm going to present you, I did it backwards than I normally do. I think this is the most likely culprit.
Oh, why'd you do it backwards?
Because this is the one I've thought about forever.
Okay, fair.
They spray water.
Yes.
They do not have to do that to breathe like a whale does.
Right.
But they'll go like a little kid.
Okay.
Just for fun of it. They just like doing it every once in a while. I've been in kayaks. I've seen it done to paddle boards. I've been in John boats with it.
Will they spray people or things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Manatees lift boats out of the water.
Yeah.
They do it. I've been in a boat with it. I've seen it happen to kayaks and paddle boards and everything like that. Or the really big manatees, they think it's really funny. So they'll get under you. Sometimes they do it to scratch. Other times they do it just to get a rise out of you because they like the noises we make.
Okay.
So I was in a little John boat with another guy, and it literally picked us up out of the water for a second and put us back down.
Wouldn't that hurt from the motor?
No, it wasn't running. I was sitting there fishing.
Gotcha.
So the boat was not moving.
Good, okay.
And it swam up under it.
Yeah.
And then went, whoop. It was the scariest thing till we seen its big dumb face looking up and just seen our reaction.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They sit and they... watch and see what you're going to do.
That's pretty funny.
No, so a bunch of these behaviors described, I think, really fit a manatee. Either by the end of summer, it either got back out of the river or it died.
Yeah.
We talked about that in Florida or in Tennessee too. There are war manatee sightings in the Mississippi and Tennessee. Unconfirmed. The one in Memphis, Tennessee, or not Tennessee, in Kentucky, I'm sorry. The one in Memphis, Tennessee was caught and put back in Florida. But the one in Kentucky that was seen a whole bunch was never caught.
Mm.
So it probably died.
Yeah.
But they never confirmed a manatee made it that far because they never found the body and they never caught it.
Yeah, someone caught it and killed and ate it.
In Kentucky, I believe it.
Yes.
We have a lot of Kentucky listeners in here, and I know you guys would have ate it.
Oh, we would have ate it. We're from Kentucky, basically.
I wouldn't eat a manatee. That's like my top.
Well, it's, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Our grandparents would have.
Oh, my grandpa Bob probably did eat a manatee.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yes.
He killed a giant alligator gar because he didn't know what it was.
Well, was it good?
I don't know if he ate it or not.
Okay.
He tied it to a boat and drug it all the way back to the fish camp in Louisiana.
Wow.
Because he caught it on bass gear and did not, nobody's going to believe me.
He found this monster?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did. It was longer than the boat he was in.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, though.
Anyways, so I really think manatees fit a lot of this. I think, because Whitey, you said Pinky a minute ago, and it made me, both color animals.
Right, yeah.
Whitey was seen pretty much exclusively in the summer months, the few times he was seen.
Yep.
Size fits most apart, besides the one story, the last story I told you with picking up the boat. Depending on which book you read that story out of, some say that the monster was actually the size of a train car.
Okay.
Others paint it more of that 15 to 20 foot long, like normal animal, I guess normal big animal size.
Is that how big manatees get? Okay. Yeah. That the only thing is that photo just looked funny.
We'll talk about the photo with the next culprit.
Okay.
I think there are several things going on here. I think the big majority of these sightings were manatees. Or a manatee, or a mom and a baby manatee, you know. I think a lot of it fit. I think the dynamiting, they probably blew it up and killed it.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, let me take a drink of coffee.
Yeah, it was BB with the dynamite. Did he end up, you said, you speculated they did. You said he did, but did he actually? Is that your...
I have no proof that he did.
Okay.
Bateman.
Yeah.
But immediately after the police told him no, or the commission told him no,
yeah,
people were dynamiting in the river.
Okay. So he was probably involved. Yes.
I don't have proof of that, but I'm going to say yeah.
Probably. I'd speculate he was involved.
He came out of the town office saying, I'll burn this town to the ground kind of deal.
Yeah.
And he had a case of dynamite.
Can relate.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think of manatees?
The only thing I would disagree with it would be the photo. The photo doesn't look like a manatee.
Okay.
So that's, other than that, yeah.
What did the photo look like to you?
Sturgeon.
A sturgeon's a good guess.
Maybe the back.
I can see a sturgeon.
Again, the head, it's an old photo, obviously.
Oh, extremely old.
When I first looked at it,
even a photo of that thing or not.
Yeah, when I first looked at it, I didn't see anything. But then I seen, okay, there is a pattern there.
I don't think the photo was hoaxed, as in whatever they took a picture of. I think they probably generally believed it was something scary.
Okay.
I kind of think the photo was a log.
Just a log, yeah.
Because I've been on the Red River, which is right there next to it, and I've had logs that you never seen come spinning up out of the water and slam back down next to you, and it's the scariest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because they tumble.
Right.
But they're in the muddy water, so you can't see them tumbling.
Right.
And so I kind of wonder if that was a log that was rolling.
It's insane.
And it was up for a second and then went back down. And they look like they're alive. Like, they look like a big living animal.
Yeah.
In some of these big rivers in the South.
Yeah.
And if you're not accustomed to that, it is extremely scary.
Right. Gosh, I can't just still imagine like a 40-foot tree rolling down a river at you.
Probably 80-foot tree, because we were in 50 foot of water and it was probably 12 or 15 feet out of the water when it slammed down next to us.
Yeah.
Anyways, the next one, though, could explain your photos.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that I never knew about, that I found in the research of this episode, that I think is a lot of the Central American cryptid water monsters.
Okay.
It was a crocodile.
Just a plain old crocodile.
Not a normal crocodile. Because there are native crocodiles to North America. They're American crocodiles. They do not go this far north as traditional ranges go. Even their extreme ranges, They really don't venture this far north. Crocodiles and alligators are very different animals, even though they look kind of similar.
Can they crossbreed?
No. Okay. As far as I know crocodile or I know alligators and caiman can. I don't think crocodiles and alligators can, because they are very distantly related, even though they just happen to look very similar.
Right.
So, crocodiles, American crocodiles, and occasionally we get a saltwater crocodile from Africa.
Okay.
We'll make it across the jet stream in the ocean.
An oceanic crocodile?
Yeah. I don't think that's this either.
Okay.
There's a chance it could be a big oceanic crocodile, but with it going on land, with the three-toed tracks, which they have little five-toed hands, but they get their hands mangled by each other all the time.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I could see one, a big one, only having like three toes or looking like three toes from a broken foot or something like that. But they make these like punch marks in brush where they're going in mm-hmm. to sleep. There was a very special crocodile, though, that was in the Mississippi River Delta that established a breeding population that the U.S. government hid.
Go on.
So the article is that I'm using is by Raymond Sasser. And it's just written last year. Are crocodiles hiding in the mysterious depths of the Mississippi? The question has been asked countless times by many people who know about the creatures and having a history of living in the area. So if you live there, you've heard of this. If you don't, it's very covered up. So it's a complex question. The simple answer is yes and no. It's adequate ecology of the history. Crocodiles are not an unfamiliar creature to the ecosystems of the Mississippi. Spanish explorer Hernando de Seco explored the area in 1541 and said he encountered tormenting monsters.
That's not good.
Which were later identified, some people believe, as American alligators. The creature dwelling in the murky waters of the Mississippi long before the first settlers of North America ever arrived. Although brief sightings were made throughout the years, it was unclear whether the species was ever very common in the river in the 18th and 19th century. Despite the lack of supporting evidence, they speculate that the American alligator may have been seen as far north as Lake Pippin, which is in Kentucky. Archaeologists discovered bones indicating the alligators made it all the way up to Ohio in the last century. No substantial proof exists to verify these claims. Further research has been found that specimens nearby habitats likely indicate the marsh crocodile rather than American alligators.
Hmm.
So these northern range in the 19th century that we're seeing quote-unquote alligators.
Yeah.
There's more evidence to suggest that it was actually marsh crocodiles.
Interesting. So where did marsh crocodiles, are they a thing still or what?
So while these crocodiles may not have been seen in the Mississippi since the 1960s, sightings attribute to the marsh crocodile, which was imported by mass to North America in 1926 and kept as pets. And in the 1950s, some of these escaped and established breeding viable populations in the Seine River of the Mississippi Delta.
Mm, interesting.
It has been theorized that some of these crocodiles may have made their way from the Seine to the Mississippi, but it's impossible to be certain.
Mm. What do you mean? Impossible to be certain.
That's what the article says.
Right.
The presence of crocodiles in the Mississippi River is in doubt. Experts from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Park Service both agree that there are no scientific evidence that any of these crocodiles survived in the present-day rivers and associated lakes and tributaries.
Mm, they would say that.
While there have been no confirmed sightings in the river, there are sightings have been seen constantly. And they always make up that it is an escaped pet crocodile or just an alligator. But there are many people in the Mississippi Delta around Memphis that know what alligators look like.
Right.
And say they see crocodiles.
Do crocodiles have three toes?
Like I said, they can have messed up foot. They have five toes.
Okay. So, okay. Five still.
But they can have messed up feet and stuff like
for
that.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That individual may have had broken feet from another one. But there is a hidden presence of monstrous marsh crocodiles in the Mississippi Delta. River
that they know about.
That they brought in mass from India.
Yeah, smart.
And they established a breeding population for about a decade, and there was an extermination that happened, and they're like, there are no more left.
Hopefully.
No, that's what the Parks and Wildlife Service goes
by. That's what they're saying. Oh, yeah. We got them all.
And if you see one, it's just an alligator.
Right. No worries.
The chances that these reptiles still survive and live in the river today, most experts believe, are slim. Despite improvements to the river's water quality in recent years, the river is still too warm and the water is still too far polluted from induced agricultural and industrial waste. Both species of the crocodiles have a hard time surviving, much less finding food and reproducing these conditions. While that is true, generally speaking, crocodiles are more sensitive to pollutants than alligators.
Interesting.
But I think that these offshoot rivers are holding populations of marsh crocodiles.
Still to this day.
And I think these random one-off lake monsters that are violent and scary actually may be marsh crocodiles.
Interesting.
And I think that they, in nature, in their natural environment, they keep a pretty low number.
Could one survive in Lake Erie? Or not Lake Erie, sorry. Lake Indian Lake?
Probably not.
Okay.
That we're still a little too far north. I'm kind of talking about the central and lower Mississippi Delta.
Temperature.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not as hardy as an alligator is.
Okay.
But they still can handle some cooler temperatures.
Yeah.
But not like an alligator. They can't freeze solid.
Right, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I think there's a population, and they're big and scary looking.
Well, yeah, I mean, with the photo, in regards to the photo, yeah.
It looks like a big crocodile.
I can see that, yeah. Just because, like I said, when you first showed me the photo, I didn't see anything at all, but you can see the pattern in the water. I could interpret that as a crocodile, like back.
So.
Pretty easily.
The marsh crocodile has another name.
Uh-oh.
The mugger crocodile.
Ooh.
These are man eaters.
Yeah. That's not good.
So these dragons, there was a bunch of stories from this time about that. Remember that dragon coming out of the river and fighting that bull and dragging it back into the river?
Right.
It may have been a big marsh crocodile. A mugger crocodile.
Yeah.
They're broad snout, flat head. While they're not as big as their saltwater relatives, they do get to 16 and a half feet long and weigh 2,000 pounds and live to be in their 60s.
Hmm.
They do have pretty small clutches of eggs compared to a lot of other crocodile species.
Okay.
Any questions about them?
I've never heard of them before.
They really don't do well when temperatures drop below 41 degrees Fahrenheit.
Hmm. Okay.
As long as they don't drop that low before, you know, for a lot of times. They will dig big burrows and live in those burrows. So if they dig deep enough and, you know, live.
They'll keep up.
Yeah, they'll keep up.
So they could make it.
I 100% do.
Except, you know, I don't know, until the cold snap comes through, that might probably kill them off.
I think it will probably hit their numbers pretty hard.
Yeah.
I think that's what's keeping them in low abundance.
Yeah.
I think they're still there, though. I think a lot of these weird one-off Mississippi Delta monsters.
Oh, I meant for the Indian Lake variety.
Oh, the Indian. No, yeah, they'd be dead.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But no, yeah, obviously in the south, like we were just in Ohio, and then we went down to Arkansas. It was 30 degrees when we left here, and it was 80 degrees when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, yeah, I could see them have no problem down there.
So yeah, what was I just about to tell you?
Marsh crocodiles.
Oh, 40 eggs. They only lay 40 eggs. And they have a pretty low hatch rate.
Okay. So are they good parents or something? They have to take care of what they got. That does make it?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah. So what do you think about mugger crocodiles?
Did you know
there was a population of mugger crocodiles that lived in...
No. No, obviously not. I didn't even know mugger crocodile to begin with. So that's pretty cool. I don't know how many... I knew about caimans, you know, whatnot, alligator crocodiles. But I don't know truly anything about like the different little species or differences between, you know, just crocodiles in general. To me, they're just all the same thing, you know what I mean, other than the like caimans or gharials, things with very obvious different features.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was other like crocodiles or alligators or different types and stuff besides the gharials and caimans, and those are the only examples I got.
Yeah, so there you go.
Huh, yeah.
I was going to look to see if they can hybridize, because I'm pretty sure they can't between crocodiles and alligators.
Yeah.
But I'm going to look it up just to make sure why we're on here talking. So talk for a second.
Okay. Because, yeah, what is the biggest indicator between between an alligator and a crocodile is the teeth on the inside versus the outside, right? Is that the first obvious sign?
So they both have teeth on the outside.
Oh, they do when they close their mouth?
Yeah. Alligators generally only have them pointing down. Crocodiles have them pointing up and down.
Oh, okay.
The head shape, eye placement, snout placement. There's actually, when you start really, they're big aquatic reptiles.
Yeah.
But when you really start breaking them down, they are fundamentally very different animals.
Mm-hmm.
So as of this says, no, alligators and crocodiles are genetically too distant to interbreed and produce viable offspring. Despite both being in the same order, crocodiliforms, they're different families and genera. Alligators belong to Alligatoridae, while crocodiles belong to Crocodilidae.
Crocodilidae, that's a funny one to say.
Alligators and crocodiles are not closely related enough to successfully interbreed, even though they share very common ancestors. They do occupy slightly different ecological niches as well.
I'm blanking on the name, but the big ancient, what was it, alligator crocodile with the long legs?
Well, we'll save that for a second.
Okay.
Bryanosuchus.
Yes, Bryanosuchus.
But yeah, they in captivity, they have been kept together for decades and centuries, and no interbreeding has ever been successfully observed.
Okay.
I'm sure they try.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you?
I'm just sure that no crocodile is going to like an alligator.
Right, yeah, or vice versa.
Oh, I could see a male alligator really trying to put the moves on a female crocodile.
Oh, gotcha.
I just can't see a female crocodile picking a male alligator over
being like
other mates.
Right, yeah.
All right, so there's my two highest rated ones.
Okay.
What do you think?
They both fit the markers.
And did you know that we had an invasive species of crocodile living in the Mississippi Delta that the U.S. government kept under wraps and quote-unquote said they exterminated?
I did not know that, and I am also equally not surprised.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Until I was doing research. Kind of like...
That's wild.
Because I was looking up to see how far American alligators went up the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Or American crocodiles, sorry. American crocodiles went up the Mississippi.
Okay.
Just kind of curious, because... And there was that... On the other side of America, there was the Baja crocodile, too.
Oh, the Baja.
Went up the Baja Delta.
Yeah.
I was just looking at... We had a couple species of native crocodile, you know. And then I seen, like, somebody talked about that. Marsh crocodiles in the Mississippi. Like, what? I started looking at it, like, there were thousands of them.
Mm.
They were just people throwing them in the river. And then, for a decade, they had sustainable breeding populations.
They actually lived.
For a decade.
It. Yeah, they established.
And then the U.S. government said they killed them all, and don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe them. They'll never lie, they're never wrong.
Started giving them blankets.
Yeah, they gave all the alligator or crocodiles blankets, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, next one.
Okay.
Whales. Whale, whale, whale.
That was good.
Now, there's always a chance that a whale followed a boat up, and because they do that in the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
One almost made it into the Great Lakes a couple of years back.
Yep, got caught in the locks, right? Yep.
And they had turning them around, but they'll follow. Sometimes they'll just follow ships up. So there were ships going up this area, and I think like we already talked about with the manatee, that this deep eddy, it maybe it followed up during high waters. Waters receded, and it just kind of got stuck.
Stuck there.
And I don't think it was like a huge baleen whale. I'm more talking either like one of the smaller species,
maybe a beaked whale, perhaps.
There you go, or a juvenile whale.
Yeah.
And there are bones of whales found in the southern part of the Mississippi River.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so it happens, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that whales have gone up the Mississippi for thousands and thousands of years, gotten stuck and died.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I mean.
So there's always a chance that, I mean, that would explain some of the big sizes of some of these sightings. You know, 40 foot long, whales easily obtain those sizes.
Yeah. But
I don't believe an 80 or 90 foot whale made it up the White River. The Mississippi, you know.
Yeah.
The southern part of the Mississippi, sure.
Yeah.
But, go up the Mississippi and then go up the White.
Right, yeah.
That's a lot more. But a juvenile whale or one of the smaller species of whale or a dolphin or, you know.
Could a whale, though, live in a river like for?
Not very long.
I was going to say.
Weeks, max.
Yeah.
They can live a lot longer than like a fish because how they're set up with their like their salinity and stuff like that's very different.
Yeah.
So whales can handle it.
I was thinking more food source like.
No, I mean, they can, but they go 4 or 5 months naturally without eating.
Oh, okay. Fair.
So they can starve to death. Starving to death is a lot longer way to die.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because that's what, like humpbacks, for example, in the Pacific, they give birth in an area with no food.
Right.
And then they swim 4,000 miles
to get
their feeding ground.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more predators there for their calves. So they go somewhere safe to give birth.
Right.
And then they just feed their calf off their body fat for like the first couple months.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So whales. There's always a chance that a random one of the balenes, the Gulf has a bunch of whales. Actually, now whales completely avoid that part of the Gulf.
Why?
Mississippi is extremely toxic. And when it dumps into the Gulf, it has about a 900 or 800 mile square dead zone.
Jeez.
Anything that swims in it dies from the ocean.
Oh, we're just so wonderful.
You ever seen all those pictures of dead manatees? It killed a bunch of manatees one time.
Oof, no. I think my internal algorithm blocks that stuff out.
So there's a picture of a beach covered in dead, like, big fish, and then, like, manatees rolling dead in it, too.
Wonderful.
And that was one of those.
Oh,
sharks.
Yes.
Sharks go up there. Sharks have been caught in the White. They've been caught in the Red. They've been caught in the Mississippi, all through there.
Yeah, but this ain't a shark.
I just had to put it in there.
Yeah.
There may be some of the sightings, because, you know, we have about 100 years of sightings of something in the White River in this big eddy that's right there near the town, or Towhead Island.
Right.
Or Towhead Island.
Yeah, I 100% believe there are sharks in that river. Yes, I would believe that. But
I just say, I put it in there that some of the sightings could be sharks.
Yeah.
Out of the 100 years of sightings, you know, not all of the, like, not the famous ones.
Right.
But just somebody going down to the river and seeing a big shark go through or something like that, just being monster.
Which I agree with, but not the White River Monster.
So Brianosuchus is another one I had on this list already.
Which is the
giant dragon crocodile.
Yeah, basically, you know, land dragon. It's basically a crocodile that's longer than...
It's a crocodile the size of an orca that can run.
Yeah, it's got long legs, like tall legs, yeah. Not the short stubby.
So during
ones.
The Jurassic, there was a cousin called Borosuchus.
Yeah.
Which ate dinosaurs.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Weren't those on Ark?
I don't think Borosuchus was. Caprosuchus is.
And then
Dianosuchus.
Something with the starts with the S, I thought.
Sarcosuchus.
Sarcosuchus. That's what's on Ark. Yeah. They're like, they jump at you. It's very scary.
No, that's Caprosuchus.
Oh, it's that one. That's jumpers?
Caprosuchus was like a panther crocodile. Okay.
Either way, a game could be scary.
Yeah. No, they fly at you. Caprosuchus fly at you in the game. Out of nowhere.
Right, yeah,
you'll
exactly.
You'll be doing nothing and across and the
wham.
Swamp.
Wham!
Rips you off your mount and just takes you into the swamp.
Yes.
Anyways. So Brianosuchus, maybe, except this thing didn't murder anybody or any animals.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Maybe, but I'm going to say no.
Pinky on Vacation, I have written too.
There we go. Could be.
Yeah, nothing about this thing looked like Pinky.
No, but, you know, when you get further up the river, though, your skin changes due to the, one, water quality and the temperature. Pinky is adapted to do both.
But that's pretty much it.
This is an interesting one. Right outside of, or exactly where was this thing in the eddy?
About 12 miles south of where we just were.
In Arkansas. Okay, that's pretty awesome.
It's, for anybody who really wants, it's in between Memphis and Little Rock.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. We were literally right there.
We passed Towhead Island where there was a sign for it.
Wow, okay.
That was one of the state parks.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, I really think most of the sightings I'm going to go with were manatees.
Yeah.
And then some of the sightings may have been those marsh crocodiles. And I think that you'll hear more about these marsh crocodiles a lot more coming up. Just because all these rare river monsters that look kind of crocodilians, even like the Goro in Arkansas.
Goro.
That the people had alligators.
Yeah.
And they said it was different than an alligator, but it was huge and it stored food underneath in like a cave. May have been a marsh crocodile. Yeah, they're bigger. They're meaner. And they'll run out alligators from their area and stuff like that. Because remember the Goro talked about that it chased all the alligators away.
Okay.
Crocodiles will do that. Mm. They don't want competition.
Right, yeah.
And alligators, generally speaking, specialize in animals smaller than them.
Gotcha.
And crocodiles specialize in animals larger than them.
Yep.
They're very different animals.
Different temperaments.
Yeah, I mean, alligators like fish, turtles, and raccoons. Even big alligators, that is most of their diet.
Yeah.
Snakes. And then crocodiles rather just murder a water buffalo.
Right, yeah.
Or us. There's very few animals.
Anything big, I don't
care.
There's
very, very few animals that will go out of their way to actually eat humans.
Yeah.
Big crocodiles are always on that list.
Yep, that's true.
A crocodile never doesn't think of a human as a person. It takes a lot of stuff to make an alligator think that.
Gotcha.
To make an alligator think of people as food.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of work. You know, feeding them or, you know, torturing them, teasing them, doing all kinds of stuff. Generally, an alligator, because in Arkansas, being in the, you know, waters with alligators that don't have tourism,
yeah,
they do not like people.
Gotcha.
The second they see you, they run away. They get in the water, they hide. They don't want to be around you because all their experiences are being shot at
by
people.
Right.
So they're very timid and scared of people. Yeah. Even that, like, 13-footer, The second she's seen us, she wanted to hide.
Ingrained in their DNA.
Yeah. So what? What if you had to pick one, what are you going with? What is the Light River Monster?
I think I would agree with you on the manatee. I think it's probably that would be the most likely candidate. But with the outside shot, with some of them being that, the croc marsh, yeah, I can't rule that out, especially with that photo of it.
Yeah, to me, that photo looks like a crocodile.
Yeah.
And everybody, Patreon, I'll try to remember to post it.
Right, yeah.
If not, if you just type in the White River Monster photo, it will come up. There's only one.
It's not, yeah, it's not very hidden. Yeah, I would agree with you. Those are the most likely candidates you proposed. That makes sense, logically, yeah. Unless it's some other crazy just monster we don't know about.
And there's always that.
The one-off guys.
I skipped over it, but I had Canebrake Monster listed too.
Yeah.
That's the heart of the Canebrakes, the whole ecosystem. We're going to do a whole big series on the Canebrakes.
The Canebrakes, the lost biome of the North America.
Yeah. I would love to find that bamboo species to plant.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I can't find it, though. It gets 50 feet tall.
Wow.
I don't know if it even exists anymore. I don't know if that actual species even exists anymore.
Let's look for it. Maybe we can.
I've been looking for it. I wanted it for the backyard.
Yeah, heck yeah. Let's get it. Let's plant it all along Hog Creek.
It grows like 5 or 6 feet a month.
Let's plant it all along Hog Creek and
would clean up Hog Creek a little bit.
Yeah, heck yeah.
You're not gonna hurt Hog Creek.
No,
it's a mud pit full of rock and carp
that I think is perfect for bamboo.
All right, I've been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been JClone79.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Gathered round, Patreon members making sound. Cryptids of the corn were found, talking Bigfoot, dogman bound. Hiding in the woods, they creep. Stalking hikers, making us leap. Eat corn, we're in deep. Giant jellyfish, manta ray sweep. Flying through the sky so high. Hating government, don't comply. UFOs alive, we can't deny. Mushroom smart, fairies nigh. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my. We're the corn cult gathered round. Patreon members making sound. Cryptids of the corn we're found. Talking Bigfoot, dogman bound. Hiding in the woods they creep. Stalking hikers making us leap. Eating corn we're in deep. Giant jellyfish, manta ray sweep. Flying through the sky so high. Hating government, don't comply. UFOs alive, we can't deny. Mushroom smart, fairies nigh. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my. Elementals in the woods so sly. At the end of the night we sigh. Sitting round the fire we try. Talking monsters, eating corn. Oh my.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save.